Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Creative Contact. Thank you so much for tuning in. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with me right now, and I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode is going to be solely for future Kia. This is going to be Life Update 101, talking about Buenos Aires, talking about some crazy identity development ideas, things are going on, next steps. We got some crazy updates for y'all, so I'm not even going to pretend like this isn't going to be incredibly indulgent on this one. But if you like to engage in these more philosophical pods, if you like to engage in ideas that might put you into some uncomfortable places, then this might be the podcast for you, because I've had some crazy revelations recently, and I want to talk about them because they're things that I'm currently working through. And so I want to hop on, talk about them with you. Feel like we could work through this, me, you, future Kia, and we create a little time capsule that I can look back on one day and say, wow, remember when Kia had no idea what was going on? Although I think that's one of the beautiful things is that the older I get, the more I realize how little I know. And that's a beautiful thing, is that like maybe the wisest I'll ever be is when I realize that I actually like is the most uncertain I'll ever be. And so there's something kind of beautiful there that I want to dive into. And we'll unpack that a little bit. Another piece that I want to talk to you about is Argentina. What's going on here in Buenos Aires? Another thing I want to talk about is ladies, love. Another thing I want to talk to you about is identity. And by like the beauty of desperation. Maybe that's how we will kind of like frame this conversation. So the first things first is a little, we'll start service level and we'll slowly get into deeper territory. So Argentina, Buenos Aires, love it down here. It's a beautiful place. You can drink the water. People are very kind. There was all of this craziness about things being dangerous. I did see an old man get his watch stolen this last week, like in the middle of the day. Like there's an old guy and his family, and like these guys, it's kind of typical, like, you know, they kind of run these plays on you where like one guy comes up, asks a question, you look over there, distracted, another guy takes his watch, and then they hop on a bike and drive away. I was like, split second. In my mind, I saw it registering, and I was like, Kia, you should go over and do something. And it took, by the time I had the thought, and then was like, no, nothing weird is happening, and talked myself out of it, they like started, they run the play, and it took off. But I felt the instinct in me of like the spidey senses when I was like, it really, really goes to show you, I think, how much we don't regret necessarily the mistakes we've made, how much more we regret when actions we didn't take. Right. And it was like the rest of the day, I was like, dude, I could have totally done something. And yet, it's just the guys watched, nobody got hurt. But there is a part of me that I want, that I feel compelled to jump in when things like that happen. And I think this ties into another piece of the conversation. Look at that, a little transition. I wasn't even expecting that. So we have some, there's a lot of one. I want to talk about other Argentina stuff, ladies, life and things. But I want to dive into this identity piece just real quick. We'll wrap up a little bit of Argentina and then we'll get into it. Is another thing I just want to talk about is mosquitoes. Like there is this insane invasion. I cannot describe it to you. I'm not even sure if you can see it, but I've been like, it's the most crazy I've ever seen in my entire life. And they came out of nowhere. It was a week ago and it's bonkers. It's like actually like difficult to walk around outside because there are so many mosquitoes. So if I get dengue and don't show up, you know what happened to me. Anyways, I just wanted to throw that out there just so you had a little bit of sympathy for me. But this next piece, I don't want any sympathy. I don't want any pity. This isn't to try to pull your emotions out. This is just me throwing ideas, me working through stuff. I'm totally fine. I'm going to preface it with that. Just letting you know, mom, that's for you. Okay. So before we were talking about when this guy was getting robbed on the street, right? Before the mosquito tangent is I feel like when those things happen, I know, whoa, this shit just got blown out. I know when people are like, you know what, you know, don't, you know, fight back or anything like that. You could get hurt or don't, you know, don't try to be a superhero. But there is a part of me that does feel compelled to help in those type of situations. Like to get involved, which is maybe a bad instinct, but there is something about it that I feel it helps. It like maybe something I was talking about a friend earlier this week about. Is like it makes me feel worthwhile. Like I'm like to be able to help. You know, I like helping. And I think that there's there's a piece of my life as I've been going through things, this the last few weeks have been really tough because I've been floundering a bit, both in identity and career in a lot of ways. And so those things are obviously like very, you know, closely tied together. And so obviously, as I've been kind of processing through the music stuff, like who am I without that? I've been so tied to achievement for so long. It's kind of this strange, when that's removed from your life. And then it's like, so, you know, what, to go from something you've had your mind on, you know, since you were 16 to then just like having that goal. It makes me really grateful I'm not an athlete. I talk about this a lot, like how much I feel bad for professional athletes, because that career, once that's gone, it's like, is like your heyday behind you, unless you become a coach or something, which some of the, you know, some folks do. But it's like that thing where I feel I'm still kind of grasping what that next step is. And obviously the writing, I've been loving the writing, but at the same time, understanding that rather than putting all my eggs in one basket with the writing, trying to find a way to both write and also find something to do to make an income at the same time. Because right now, I'm at like the bottom of the barrel. So I had a bunch of savings from doing all the course business stuff, kind of selling that off. And I'm at the tail end of it. And so I took the year, I told myself I was going to take last year just to write the book, did that. So now it's like, okay, let's get back in action. And now I'm trying to figure out like what that is. You know, I long term, I love, you know, the writing stuff. Would be cool to be a writing coach someday. But right now, I'm like, how can I make money, you know, now? And so thinking about this next step, I talked about this a little bit last week, of thinking of, I'm like, what are some skills that I naturally have that then I could lean into and, you know, parlay into some sort of cool gig? And so I've been thinking about sales, just because I feel like I like people, I'm curious about people, I like to talk, obviously. And there's thinking about it, trying to get this reframe of like sales as service, I think has been cool for me. You know, like, okay, if I'm like, maybe it got, like being a coach or like empowering people on a sales call, to me feels exciting. You know, like that's something I feel like I could do. So this last two weeks actually, because I missed a week, I apologize, has been looking into some sort of like sales gig. Like what's some sort of sales gig that I could do that's remote that I like, or at least can like stomach. And I think one piece of it is thinking about it. I talked this a little bit in the last pod is like, how do I think about it as like building a skill? And so one of the things that I've stumbled on is the idea of selling like remote high ticket, being a remote high ticket closer. Pretty much I close deals for other people's products. And I liked that a lot because I was like, it's remote. It's something that I feel like it's a skill I could get good at. And then once I'm good at selling other people's offers, eventually when I have my next offer, whatever that looks like, I could parlay that into, you know, skills for my own business someday down the line, whenever that reveals itself to me, whatever that business is. So I was looking into that a lot the last few weeks. I bought some online courses. I've been learning a lot about it. And now it's like, how do I get my foot in the door on the first? How do I find somebody's offer who's like, yeah, this is a high ticket offer. It works. Even though I have a ton of sales experience, kind of give me the shot. And so I remember this is kind of an interesting, you know, thing of using your network. I remember I had a buddy from way back in the day from Boston who, when I went to BU, who was like a maestro about this stuff. So I reached out to him. Shout out Mike. And I was like, dude, can I hire you to coach me? And so I hired him. He's going to be my coach, help me kind of like find an offer. And so I'm excited. That's like the last of my money. It's like, I actually overspent. It's like on that. I'm like, I'm in the red. I'm in debt, but I'm taking a chance on me. I'm like, for this, you got to spend money to make money. And so I'm kind of taking a gamble, but I know if I could get, I don't think it's going to take me that long to get like my skills at least good enough to do some damage, but I think having someone to help me with that, kind of help me figure it out and like put me in a placement, will expedite the process. And so I'm excited to, like always, every time my back is up against the wall, it kind of kicks me into this new gear that helps me develop kind of the next version of myself I need to be. Same thing happened when I flew to Chiang Mai with only $1,000 in my bank account, like bottom of the barrel again. Low point in my life. It's when that my uncle, shout out Uncle B, he's in NA. He's like this big shot in NA. And he like, last time I was down in South Florida, I went to a meeting with him and we were in the car, we were in the truck. And I asked him, I was like, yo, Uncle B, like now you've helped all these addicts over the years as a sponsor, he runs these meetings. I was like, you know, what's the key to people coming out of their addiction? Like what? And he's like, he turned to me, he's like, pain. You know, people have to, it's when the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change. And that's like, that's kind of where I am right now. It's like that pain of like doing the same things that have got me here. I'm like, it's painful enough that I'm like, I'm spending my last dollar. I'm like overspending. I'm like push myself out of the comfort zone. It's like, let's learn new skills. Let's break out to the next level because something needs to change. Thought I would kind of like stuck in this spot mentally for a while. So I say all that to say, I've been going through some of these courses with about sales and closing and online remote sales and stuff. And one that stuck out to me was really interesting because a lot of some of these kind of through lines, like everybody has their own style and how to sell and these different things. But one of the through lines I'm seeing between them is this real need of belief that like balls to bones, you gotta believe in what you're selling. You've gotta the internal work, the internal energy for you is almost more important than the words you say. And that makes a lot of sense to me. And as I was going through these trainings, like I had this pyramid. It was like, what influences these, how do you feel, how can you create that sort of magnetic energy that people feel drawn to? So it was like, the bottom was like, and I forget all of them. It was just like this pyramid. It was like environment, like actions, beliefs, identity. And at the very top of the pyramid was mission. And he sold for Tony Robbins. And so he had done Tony's program, and then it like changed his life, and he became his top salesman. And it was interesting thinking about that because I realized maybe one reason that I've kind of been, you know, I don't want to say struggling, but yeah, you know, working through some shit on my own is I think I lack that mission, and I think I have a few core beliefs that really kind of it's crazy. I feel like I have some really intense beliefs that are limiting me from having a mission, but I believe in them so strongly. I'm still not ready to give them up, if that makes sense, even if they aren't necessarily self-serving me in that regard, because I feel like they've served me so much in other regards. And so it just really struck me. This is kind of like a new idea that I've been thinking about the last few days as I took this course, was this idea of like this lack of mission. And I think part of it is, I've talked about this before, is that when you have a mission, that can be anything, right? That if you like fight for your country, or it's your family, or it's like, you know, Elon Musk, it's like, you're like, I need to create this, like some people that like that are founders that like have this belief in their thing. That I think almost dying a couple times has made it hard for me to kind of like put that stake in the ground. And maybe that's a story I'm telling myself. But the reason why I feel like I can, I'll maybe find a mission eventually. But one of the reasons why I feel maybe a little scared to have one is because I feel very transient, you know, in this life, both in terms of like lifestyle, obviously kind of, you know, bopping around a little bit. And then also like understanding that we're here for such a short time anyways. Like you go to Asia, you go to Ireland, a place in Europe, a place in Latin America, and you realize how long the earth has been around. And like on some stoicism shit, right? I read stoicism every morning. It's like, we're really just drops in a bucket. And like the greatest emperors of all time that like we can barely remember. And so there's part of me that feels like life is meaningless. I've talked about this a lot, but like in kind of a beautiful way that like nothing really means anything. And so you can take that to be like, well, then I'll just eat potato chips all day and do it. But like to me, almost it's very freeing. It's like, okay, that actually means I can do anything. But at the same time, there's this kind of paradox where I was like, is that a mosquito? No, it's not. Is because I feel sort of fluid in my identity and sort of, well, this is blown out again. I'm sorry, y'all. This day, it's cloudy and then it's not cloudy again. It feels kind of fluid in this way. I realized that I've been so focused for so long that I really don't have a mission. You know, I feel sort of untethered in that regard, and that there's nothing. This is gonna listen. I told y'all I don't want pity on this. That's me just being as real and honest as possible. I've never felt. This is hard to admit, but I'm gonna be. digging deep, y'all. I feel like I've never lived for anything other than myself. And that, I think in a way, I think like having a family and kids is kind of a cheat code for that, because then it gives you stakes. It gives you something to get out of bed for, where I've never, no one's actually ever needed me. And I mean, that's a shout out to my folks, because they're both incredibly independent, doing their thing. All my family, immediate family, has never really needed me. Like, of course, it's like they need me, but not like in any real, real way where like whether I'm, you know, working or not matters. And I think that there's this sense of what, you know, a big sort of struggle in this life for me is like this feeling of being enough. And I think that one reason why I was so hard charging and achieving for so long is because it kind of gave me this sense of craving achievement, because it felt like it was worthwhile. It made me feel like there was something worth pursuing. It was like impact or whatever it is. But, you know, the truth is the world was never like, you know what we need? Like another white rapper. You know, like it's like my art. I think that's a piece of it, is that since the art has never been successful. But at the same time, I can also have that conversation and realize that whether the art is successful or not shouldn't be a reason for pursuing it. You know, it's like that you, I think having, doing art for the pure thing, like for the pure beauty of what it brings you, is worthwhile, is what makes it, you know, worth doing, regardless of the external output or outcome. But I'd also be lying saying that like there's not a piece of me that still lusts after that in some regards, like having something that I've done or made feel like it's worthwhile. And I think this is one of the struggles with art at my level of like, you know, a pretty, you know, small potatoes, is that even if I write like a great book or something like that, Maybe this is, again, kind of my own self-limiting beliefs, but I have a buddy who's a doctor. I was talking to yesterday, Dr. Kev. And it's like, if he doesn't go to work in the morning, like, people actually die. You know, it's like, he's an emergency room doc. It's like, he needs to go do his work. And so for me, I think, as an artist at heart, I kind of struggle with this idea of meaning, worth, art, creativity, and wanting to feel needed in a way and feel like I'm worth something. And maybe, you know, when I was 16, 17, 18, and, you know, the music stuff was really kind of starting, I was starting to get attention for it. That was, I linked those things, you know, that my worth was what I did for the world. And so it's just been interesting thinking about this kind of call and response that I have with the universe of feeling needed, you know, and not ever really maybe driven to be successful, because that's where I got that feeling from. And now, and when that disappeared, it was like that feeling of also like having any sort of like being tethered to anything kind of went with it. And so it's been interesting kind of thinking about that in terms of like mission. Like, one of the nice parts about having a family of your own, having a spouse, whatever, is it's automatic. It's kind of a cheat code. Like, it builds that in because then people depend on you. And, you know, rather than having to find it yourself, and I'm not saying that that's a good thing or a bad thing, but maybe that's a question too. Is it like, I'd say maybe if it was like you did have some huge mission, some people that's, you know, faith, some people that's their like the problem they're solving for the world. But I think, like I said, to bring this all the way back to the kind of this like limiting belief, but also a very, you know, a belief that I use very often to kind of like self-soothe about where I am in life, is this sort of, you know, we're all like specks of dust kind of like floating on this gigantic rock, that those, I can still, you know, I always come back to that like this sort of nihilism in a way. In a beautiful way, it's like very freeing. It's like, okay, now I have my day to do these things that I, you know, spend my day doing these things that are nice. But I feel like if I ask why long enough, I kind of end up, I would kind of brush up against the same beliefs or kind of the same ideas. And so that's where thinking about like legacy or, you know, impact, these things that I think can sometimes be a bit of a crutch for this, like, I don't want to say hollowness, but something at the end where we all kind of realize that we're only here for a very short time. And so it's like almost all of these things, whether it's, you know, gold medals, achievement, like family, it's like all this quest for immortality to like, we all like are like deathly afraid of dying. And so it's like, how do I stay longer? How do I make sure people remember me? How do I have a bigger impact? Like you talk to any influencer business person that wants success and want growth, and they'll say it's impact. Although sometimes I also feel like that's kind of like a smokescreen for like just wanting to be more famous or more followers or more successful, like more attention is more like more impact. I get it. They go hand in hand, right? We're self-serving creatures. But these are sort of this idea of like trying to let go of legacy and let go of immortality and just like being better at accepting kind of the brevity of it all is both incredibly liberating and freeing and beautiful and also challenging at the same time, because I almost don't want to tether to anything too hard, or maybe anyone too hard. Although at this point, I think with relationships, I think I'm ready. Like I feel good. I'm like, I'm ready to do the relationship thing. I think it'd be rad to have a family someday. But it's also, it's become very clear to me that there's no, I think what you know, I mean, like faith is because it gives you that sort of greater purpose that I just don't, I don't really have that in my life. And so it makes these moments like, you know, seeing this guy who gets his watch stolen and I want to step in and do something, I feel very fearless in a way. It's like there's almost, because I don't really have anything to quote unquote live for, like I feel there is a freedom in that that I also think is beautiful. You know, I'm not clutching to anything too tightly. But again, everything comes with, you know, everything comes with, there's trade-offs in every belief system, every framework, every decision. And so in being able to move fluidly and be fearless and want to kind of put myself out there and take action and jump in to save the day and do things and go for it and do all these kind of crazy things and the travel, like that comes with a fearlessness that I think on the opposite end, that's the person, you know, white picket fence, steady income, maybe has a midlife crisis because they never pursued that freedom. But they cling to everything. I need the family. I need the dog. I need the job. I need the 401k. I need the, you know, and it's like all of these like safety systems in place that kind of you create your own little box. But that box can also be a beautiful thing. But it reminds me of Fight Club when Tyler Durden, when Edward Norton, at least that version of him, like when he talks about, he comes back from the plane trip right after he meets Brad Pitt. And he looks up at his apartment building and he starts listing off all the items in it. He's like, I have the IKEA coffee table that matches with like the plates in the dishwasher and that with like the throw rugs and the couch. And like it does this like slow pan around the apartment, like everything brand new. And then he talks about leaving the pilot light on and then the whole apartment blows up, which he actually did kind of self-sabotaging so he could then like have that freedom. But it's like we get so attached to stuff and these things that we assign meaning to that I think I've just been in the deep end of transience for so long that it was just a bit of kind of like this rude wake up call that I was like, man, if I really want to, I think nail this next chapter of my life, I think it's like dialing that in a little bit and maybe putting some real stakes into either relationships or places, you know, things of that nature that could be, you know, like I said, it raises everything's trade-offs, you know, kind of a dog, you know, like that's the, I'm like, it'd be really cool to get a dog. And so, you know, these limitations are sometimes limitations, you know, that's a perspective on it, but these sort of things that can limit your freedom, there's, I think, often are very worthwhile pursuing. But again, it's sort of like figuring out what that North Star is, and then whether they're worth it or not. And so that's where I'm at. Is like, next steps, I realize, first things first, I need to make some money. I need to find this, figure out one of these jobs, make some cash, because right now it's like been hard to even calm my mind for any sort of meditation or writing or anything, because it's like in hyperactive mode. Like, how do I make money? Like, I was trying to like build out funnels, like make email sequences for people. I was trying to pitch myself as a ghostwriter. I was like trying to build landing pages. Like, I was just like, I have all these skills. I was like, how can I like help people and make money? And none of them quite clicked. I spent a ton of time pitching. But I was like, I feel like sales is something that like AI isn't going to eat tomorrow. Something I feel like I already have some come of natural. I like to ask questions. I'm curious about people. I could do well with it. And it's something that once I could build that skill, then I could leverage into something for myself. And so, you know, these are sort of like big questions, thinking about worth and meaning and relationships and all of these things. But if, you know, when you dial it back, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs is like, I got to eat. I got to have a place to stay. And so it's like, how do I just take it one piece at a time, Kia, with this puzzle, and like find a job that I can start making good money. And then the writing too, I've been like ideating for kind of this next writing project, a little bit lost. I kind of maybe want to, I've been inspired with maybe some other directions with that. I'll talk about another time, but those have been, it's like, I need to get my money right. And so this closing thing, made this recent investment. Gonna see how that goes. I'll keep you posted. I'm excited about it. And then maybe get the writing kind of going a little bit. I think also having money is kind of this like bedrock to the rest of it. As crazy as that sounds to say, but like it, for me, it just makes, it makes the idea of like investing in a relationship easier. It makes the idea of like settling in easier. It's like sort of like this kind of, for me, it feels like this sort of an undercurrent issue that's, and maybe again, this is also maybe a self-limiting belief or story I'm telling myself, but that does seem to be the one that to me feels like it's kind of holding up the rest of these, this sort of pecking order of priorities, I guess. So hopefully next time I come talk to you, I'll have had a gig, I'll have made some cash, I'll have jumped into some trainings, have been doing a little coaching, see how that goes, and I'll keep you posted. But this is just kind of where I'm at, things I'm working through, things on my mind at this point in my life, kind of reconstructing this identity, pushing myself, figuring out, like, I'm being, doing a lot of growth, I feel like, recently as a man in terms of coming to conclusions, or lack thereof, but asking myself the hard questions about what is next and what is really needed in order to make those things happen. So things are good. Dialing shit in. We can get rid of these fucking mosquitoes and I'll be doing a lot better. I'll put it like that. Okay. Thanks for tuning in. As always, future Kia, hang in there. You got this. One step at a time. Back up against the wall. We always forget to shout by hook or by crook, baby. We're going to make it happen. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day. Hasta luego. Peace.